Welcome to Geographical Thinking, the podcast where you get ideas, stories, and conversations all through the lens of geography. I'm not your host, Guan Yu. In fact, I believe she's currently sequestered herself in a dark, deep cave somewhere, as she's mentally and physically preparing for season four of this pod. So she is away this week. She'll be back in a few weeks. So in the meantime, you are stuck with me, Mark Ho, and that means only one thing, the return of Geographical Thinking Caps, our little geographic trivia game show where geo-glory is always on the line, or as we like to call it here at Esri Canada, geo-barbenheimer. That makes sense, right? It is kind of that war.
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
Thank you. I'm here for you. So, Andre, are you Barbie or are you Oppenheimer in this scenario?
I don't know. I feel a little Barbie-ish today, man.
Yeah. I can see the pink hues in your skin. I like it.
Okay, and so,
for it. Yep. So that makes Nigel Oppenheimer, I guess.
That's dark.
Well, as you know, I am the Prince of Darkness. Andre Piasta, Nigel Pereira, welcome to the Thunderdome. Hi.
Wow.
Hello.
Two men walk in and one man walks out.
I think that's how it works. This is how the game is played, where it's just cutthroat geography trivia to the death.
Training blood sport. All right, bring it on.
That's right. So if you've attended any type of Esri Canada training over the last few years, these names are familiar to you, as they are both instructors with Esri Canada. Andre, you're out in Regina, so why don't you begin the festivities by maybe talking about yourself? Who is Andre Piasta?
Well, living in Regina is quite the experience, but...
Don't sing it.
So I've been wandering around this lonely little earth with Esri Canada here for about, coming up on 17 years.
Wow.
And so, came into geography as an accidental geographer after figuring out that, having an education was actually a useful thing. And so discovered GIS accidentally through an elective course that I took, and I didn't have to bribe anybody to get a job at this company. And so, which is always a good thing.
It's always a good thing.
And that's pretty much it, training hit hard and fast here out in the prairies, as you know, back in the day, and it's continued since.
And what courses do you teach? Like, what are the most popular ones?
Teach it all, man. Desktop to development.
Ooh.
Except for the ones that Nigel steals from me from time to time.
Oh, how dare Nigel go in and steal your courses. Unreal. All right, Nigel, it's your turn. Tell the world all about Nigel.
All about Nigel. Well, I am based out of the Toronto office, and I just finished my 13 years at Esri Canada as an instructor. I am a little bit north of Toronto in the town of Orillia. And it's kind of nice to be away from the city, particularly in the summertime. GIS and my background, I actually learned about GIS, that it was even a thing when I was studying archaeology, and saw some neat applications, how it was used to find historic sites. And after realizing maybe archaeology isn't the career choice for me, it's not all fedoras and whips, it turns out, I didn't know. And I thought, well, I'll go to school, learn this GIS thing, and maybe use that as a stepping stone to another career. But it turned out that I just stopped at the GIS thing, and here I am.
That's unbelievable. Now, so I guess we can't call you Indiana Nigel. That doesn't quite work.
No, not anymore.
Nigel Jones.
Nigel Jones. That might be closer, right? Oh, my gosh. Now, Nigel, you and I actually have some history, too, because we were in Redlands together. How long were you down there for?
I was there for 3 years, from 2007 to 2010.
Gosh, and look at us now.
That's where we first met, Nigel.
The glory days. That is very true as well. All these connections coming out.
Oh, yeah, you came down for a course?
I was sent down for a course to learn about flex. And I don't know if you were teaching in the training center or you came and found me. And we spoke for a little bit. And not long after that, he appeared up here in Toronto.
Unbelievable. Wow. Flex.
Flex. So down there with Erica.
Oh, man, that is hilarious. All right. So, Nigel, Andre, it's a pleasure to have you here for the game show. I guess we've got to play a game here. So yes. Let's do it. All right. So, you know, it's the middle of summer. The days are long. The sun is shining. The birds are chirping. Dogs and cats playing together. It's a wonderful time. Right? And honestly, for me, there's no better place that I'd rather be than crying under my bed, loathing and self-pity with an air conditioner. That's where I want to be. But for everyone else in Canada and probably the world, they're probably at a park. So that is the theme for today's show. We're going to talk about parks. How fun is that?
Beautiful.
So I have to ask, Andre, do you have a favorite park?
I do have a favorite park. It's nowadays it's called Narrow Hills Provincial Park. Back in the day, probably before Nigel was born, it's called Nipawin Provincial Park. And it was one of our first stops when my family and I would go on an annual summer camping trip, and we would travel up and down this section of highway called the Hanson Lake Road. And, you know, there's a couple of well-known campsites there that we visited, and, you know, really nice scenery, lovely trees, lightning storms in the middle of the night. And, you know, very, very, very happy memories of simpler days gone by. Yeah.
Amazing. How about you, Nigel? Do you got a favorite park?
You know, I don't know if I have a favorite park per se, but I do remember the first time I went to Muir Woods and just near San Francisco, being blown away by those massive redwoods, because I've never seen trees that large before, both in height and in width. And the way that it just kind of blocked out the sun and these shafts of light just kind of shine through. And once in a while, you'll see a deer running through the stream. And it kind of felt like the Ewok village. It was quite quite amazing to experience that for the first time.
Yeah, it's beautiful there too. And I want to give shout out to my favorite park. It's Central Park. It's right next to me. I'm that old man who's walking around the park every day trying to fight off aggressive squirrels. So it's a tough life, but it's something that I deal with on a daily basis.
As long as you're wearing pants, Mark, as long as you're wearing pants.
Yeah, there's some days. Never mind. No one wants to need to know.
Let's keep this PG, guys.
All right. So that is the theme for today's game. And we're calling it The Parks is Right. See what I did there? Very clever. Yes, I know. The game is really simple. Come on down to see a park. All right, the game's really simple. I just got a pile of trivia questions, all multiple choice. So you get it right, you get a point. And then we got a special bonus question at the end where you can earn some mega points.
Is there a steal if Andre doesn't get it? Do I?
Is there a steal? Okay, we'll allow stealing. Why not? This will be fun. All right, so if you don't get it, there's a potential to steal.
Okay, this is going down. I see how this is going to happen. All right, bring it.
It's going to get nasty. All right, Nigel, I'm going to start with you, and I'm going to start with my hometown. So Stanley Park, the jewel of Vancouver, was named after Lord Stanley, who was the 16th Duke of Derby and was the Governor General of Canada from 1888 to 1893. And, oh, yeah, there's that trophy that those hockey players win as named after the same guy, Lord Stanley. Stanley Cup, of course. Did you know Lord Stanley had a first name? So was his first name Edward, Frederick, or Gordy?
I'm going to go with Frederick.
Frederick is correct. Ding, 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 ding. Frederick ding, ding. Stanley. Wouldn't it be funny if it was Gordy?
I was waiting for Stanley.
Oh, yeah, Stanley. Awkward. All right. So, Andre, you get a point for that? Oh, sorry. Nigel, you get a point for that.
I'll get it right.
Okay, Andre, your turn. And I'm going to keep you in your home province.
All right.
So Prince Albert National Park is a beautiful gem just north of Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, of course. And the town and park is named after Albert Prince Consort, who was married to what royal monarch? Was it Queen Anne, Queen Elizabeth II, or Queen Victoria?
That would be Victoria's husband.
Look at you. How'd you know that so emphatically?
I'm old, man.
Not that old.
You're 19th century, look, man.
You see this? Do you see this beard?
All right, we're tied 1-1. Nigel, you're up next. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you get to stay in your home province, too.
All right.
All right, so Thousand Islands National Park is located along the St. Lawrence River east of Kingston. Now, if you account for all the islands in that area, including all of the big islands, all of the islets, whether it's in the park or outside of the park, whether it's in Canada or in the United States, so all of the islands in that area, are there more than 1,000 islands? Are there less than 1,000 islands? Are there exactly 1,000 islands?
There are less than 1,000 islands.
Andre, you can steal.
Well, there has to be more than 1,000 islands.
There are indeed more than 1,000 islands. So the official count is 1,149 islands and islets. 665 are in Canada, 484 in the U.S. side. But the park itself only has 21 islands and 90 islets. There you go. Fun trivia.
Wow.
See, there you go. So next time you're over there, Nigel, you have to count every single island. Make sure that's correct.
I certainly will.
That's your penance.
All right, it's 2-1, Andre. And it's your question now. All right, so Mount Logan is the highest peak in Canada, as everyone should know, and the second highest peak in North America. And it is located inside Kulani National Park and Reserve in the Yukon. Of the 20 highest mountain peaks in all of Canada, how many are located within the boundaries of Kulani National Park? Is it 12 out of 20, 15 out of 20, or 18 out of 20?
12.
12 is incorrect. Ooh, so Nigel, your chance to steal back. 15 or 18?
15.
Wrong.
Well, that just proves that he's not Googling in the background. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. There you go. 18 of the top 20 highest peaks are in that national park. The only two are Mount Fairweather, number 9, and Mount Waddington, number 19, and those are in BC. Hmm. Okay, so Andre, you're still up 2-1, but I feel Nigel's got this one. So, yeah, Nigel, you're up. Okay.
All right.
Is this the double or nothing round?
No, not yet. We're getting there. All right. So, Nigel, Sable Island National Park Reserve is a small crescent-shaped island located about 300 kilometers southeast of Halifax. Which of the following statements I'm about to say is false about this national park? It's known as the Graveyard of the Atlantic due to more than 350 shipwrecks off its shores. It's known for its population of wild horses, and it's known for its red sand beaches and dunes. Which one of those three is false?
I'm going to go with the red sand beaches and dunes.
Ding, 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 ding. You are correct. That's kind of a reference or a wink to PEI National Park. But yeah, it's home for a population of wild horses. That's kind of what it's known for and is kind of protected for. There's about 450 to 550 wild horses that are around. There's no inhabitants on that island. So it's very cool. Who knew? Wild horses in Canada.
Wild horses.
Did they survive a shipwreck? And is that how they ended up on the
island? Yeah, how did they get there? Tell us, Mark. Educate us, Mark. How did they get there?
Well, when a male horse and a female horse. No, never mind.
What did I say about PG, Mark?
Yes, that,
yes. I'm breaking every single podcast. We've got the little E next to our little podcast description coming soon. Okay, Andre, you are up.
All right.
Wood Buffalo National Park in both Alberta and Northwest Territories is the largest park in the Parks Canada system and one of the largest parks in the world. Which of the following statements about this park is false? Okay. The park's area is larger than the island country of Costa Rica. The park is home to the world's largest dark sky preserve. This park is home to the world's largest beaver dam.
Wow.
Which one of those is false?
I'm going to say the beaver dam question statement.
Well, that is wrong. It is a fact of Wood Buffalo National Park. In fact, you can see it with a satellite in space.
Wow.
It's huge.
Wow.
Okay, so Nigel, you get a chance.
Time to bring up that web map and imagery.
Well, I have to go with the Dark Sky Preserve then.
You think that's false?
I think that is false.
You're also wrong. It is the world's largest dark sky preserve.
Wow.
So the park is not quite larger than Costa Rica. It's a little bit smaller, but it's about the same size.
We get the geographic question wrong.
That's correct. Oh, the irony of it all. All right. So we're still tied 2-2. All right, Nigel, let's go with this one. Gros Morne National Park in Western Newfoundland includes the Tablelands, where the Earth's mantle was thrust up and exposed as a barren orange landscape. Oh, yeah. All right, you might get this. What is the estimated age of the geologic features at the Tablelands? Is it 4 million years old, 40 million years old, or 400 million years old?
I'm going to say 400 million years old.
You are correct. Look at you. That's really... Was the Earth even that old? I mean, I guess it is, but...
4,000.
4,000, yeah. 40 years. very good. Okay, 400 million years is correct. Okay, Andre, you All are right. up next.
Time to put this young kid in his place. All right, let's go.
Hopewell Rocks Provincial Park along the Bay of Fundy in New Brunswick is home to some of the highest tides in the world. What is a typical tidal change from low tide to high tide in the Bay of Fundy? Is it 8 meters, 14 meters, or 20 meters?
20.
That is incorrect.
Oh, no.
So, Nigel, you can pick between 8 or 14.
I'm going to say 8.
Oh. Always go for the middle. It's 14.
Oh.
So tidal changes at the Bay of Fundy ranges typically about 14 and a half meters. That's almost 48 feet, which is crazy when you think about that.
Greg
but sometimes
McKay.
It can go up to 16 meters.
Greg so. McKay lied to me. How dare he?
Oh, my goodness. All right. So we are now at 3-2 for Nigel.
Ooh.
Okay, Nigel, you're up next. We're going to go outside of Canada. What is the most visited national park in the United States? Is it Grand Canyon National Park, Great Smoky Mountain National Park, or Yosemite National Park?
Oh, I am going to say Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon. Ooh, incorrect.
Oh,
oh, sorry. All right, Andre, chance to steal.
I'm going to go with Yosemite.
Also incorrect.
Should I have gone with the middle this time, not Mark?
Oh, you should have gone with the middle. No, Great Smoky Mountains National Park in Tennessee.
Would have guessed.
It is by far the most visited. It gets almost 13 million people a year. The next is Grand Canyon at about 5.
Wow.
So
that's impressive.
Well, it's next to Dollywood. So, you know, you can go to Dollywood and then, you know, it's sort of the... Okay, there's a joke there I won't say.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Andre, you are up.
Time to redeem myself. Okay.
All right. So the oldest national park in the U.S. is Yellowstone National Park. It features over 500 geysers, including the most famous one, of course, Old Faithful. What is the average time between eruptions for Old Faithful? 74 minutes, 124 minutes, or 174 minutes?
Wow. 124.
See, you went for the middle. Look
I
at
went
that.
For the middle. Did you fool me?
Yeah, you're wrong. All right, Nigel, chance to steal back. 74 or 174?
74.
74 is correct. There you go.
I thought you were trying to trick me, like with the return rate of Halley's Comet.
Yeah, you got to go see Old Faithful. It's incredible. We can go as high as 180 feet.
I am Old Faithful.
Oh, there you go. Tourists come and flock to see you.
90% of our training revenue right there is just Andre.
That's right. Exploding every 74 minutes with anger and rage.
There you go. There you go. There's a cloud.
All right. We're almost near the end. Nigel, you're up 4-2 and you get the next question.
All right.
All right. We're going international. So often listed as one of the most beautiful parks in the world, Torres del Paine National Park is located in the heart of Patagonia and features dramatic granite peaks, glaciers, and wildlife such as penguins, pumas, and whales. What country is Torres del Paine National Park in? Is it in Argentina, Bolivia, or Chile?
Argentina.
Argentina is incorrect.
What?
Andre, is it Bolivia or Chile?
Chile.
Chile is correct. There it is.
There we go.
Coming back with the steal.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I'm back, baby. I'm back. You're back.
And you get a chance to add one more. So here we go. Serengeti National Park is well known for its largest annual animal migrations in the world of over 1.5 million blue wildebeest and 250,000 zebra, and is also home to the largest lion population in Africa. What country is Serengeti National Park in? Is it in Kenya, Tanzania, or Zimbabwe?
Kenya.
Kenya is incorrect. Boo. All right, Nigel, here we go. Tanzania or Zimbabwe?
Tanzania?
Tanzania is correct. Ah, see, go with the middle, Andre, I'm telling you. Until it doesn't work.
You're playing me like a cheap fiddle.
A very cheap fiddle. That's correct. Okay, it is 5-3 for Nigel, but I think this is the chance you're going to make it up, because this is the big final question, right? And you will get a point for every correct answer you can give on the list.
All right.
All right? All right, we're going to broaden the classification of a park. So we're all familiar with Disney, and they have the little theme parks.
Right.
And, of course, we know that in North America, we've got the two big ones, right? There's Disneyland in Anaheim, and there's Disney World in Orlando. But Disney has four other major destination attractions outside of the U.S. So can you name the four international cities where a Disney resort theme park is located? You get 1 point for each one.
Paris.
Okay, that's one.
Tokyo.
Tokyo is two.
Three. Here's
am I allowed to answer on these, or is this just for Andre?
This is just for Andre, but if he doesn't get one right, you can steal.
Got it.
Okay. Did he say Beijing?
Beijing.
Is that Beijing?
Okay, that's wrong. You get one more guess.
So I might have misled you on that one.
Yes, he did mislead you.
Sorry.
Shanghai.
Shanghai is correct. So you get 3 points. Paris, Shanghai, and Tokyo. Very nice. Nigel, there's one left. Do you know what it is?
I have absolutely no idea. Kuala Lumpur.
Kuala Lumpur. Hong Kong represents. So Hong Kong is the fourth.
Ah, all right.
Okay, so it's 6-5, but Nigel, this is your chance to take it over the top.
I just need two?
Just need two out of four.
All right.
Okay, so like we mentioned, Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando is probably the best known of the Disney parks. Did you know that it is comprised of not just one park, but four separate theme parks? So can you name those four theme parks within Disney World?
There is the Magic Kingdom.
One.
Epcot.
That is two.
Universal Studios.
Universal would not approve with the Disney Empire. No.
There's a movie studio, though. Is there not? Yeah.
There might be. One more.
That's it. I got it. That's all I got.
That's it. That's all you got. All right. So you got two out of the four, Magic Kingdom and Epcot. Andre, you want to give it a trot?
Oh, my God. This is probably my worst subject area. Not a clue, man. I haven't got a clue. I was lucky to know the first two.
So, Nigel, you were close. It's Disney's Hollywood Studios is the name of it. And then the fourth one is Animal Kingdom.
That sounds like Mutual of Omaha.
Yeah. Look it up, kids. It was a show, all right?
Marlon Perkins is the man.
Marlon Perkins. He's got to be 150 years old now, right?
Hey, wait, what about the Star Wars park?
No, I think that's in one of the existing
parks. Is it in one of them? It's not a park unto itself?
I believe that's the case.
All right.
But, you know, one of these days I need to go to Disney. So that's it. The game is over, and we do have a Geo Glory champion.
We have
Nigel Pereira. Congratulations. 7-6.
I bow down to your glory.
Most of those were guesses, but I'll take the fortune and glory. Well, just the glory.
Yeah, the fortune, you have to go to another podcast, right? Not this one.
Yeah. Congratulations, sir.
He is forever in the Wall of Fame.
Enshrined.
That's right.
Enshrined or entombed? I'm not sure which.
Yeah, well, when we carve out, you know, Mount Rushmore for geographical trivia, we're going to have to carve out Nigel's head. We're working on it.
With the glorious hair.
Glorious hair, indeed. All right. As we do with all these podcasts, we like to wrap things up by maybe talking about something that you're thinking about geographically. So, Andre, we'll begin with you. Is there something in the world that you're thinking about with a geographic lens?
Oh, wow. Pass.
Pass.
No, it's being from more or less a rural upbringing, it's I was, you know, talking with my colleague here, Marius, in the here in Regina, and we were talking about how, you know, Marius being from another country originally and here, and how very different things are, but how similar things are. We were talking about, you know, watching Northern Lights and going out and just observing the sky and the stars and all that sort of thing. And how, you know, when we have this kind of largish planet that we are accustomed to seeing, how really small a place it is ultimately. So,
yeah, I know. I think about that all the time. As you're in that dark sky preserve.
Yeah,
exactly. Buffalo National Park. We're just small little specks.
Gotta get out of the city lights and go out in the country and look up for a little bit and just appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah, exactly. But I appreciate flush toilets, so I don't go outside.
Well, there, yes.
Okay. And the last word goes to Nigel, our champion. What are you thinking about geographically?
Well, you know what? I always once in a while think about my origins in GIS with the archaeology side of things, and once in a while there's an archaeologist that comes through one of our classes trying to learn about GIS, and there's a great story map called the Kingdom of Copper out there. So I really like to see when GIS is being used for things that we don't normally see it being used for. So yeah, going back into like the history or culture, you know, there's some really interesting story maps that look at like the Seven Wonders of the World, for example. So I like to see that. I like to see that kind of a more alternative approach and a more creative approach. I really like the way story maps present things in a very creative manner. And, you know, we have the great story maps course that we teach as well. That's kind of what I'm always thinking about. You know, just, I like to see that history and culture come out in GIS when it can.
Yeah, I just love how story maps sort of open the world, right? And everything's not just a property map, or you know, it just opens the world to all different fields and all different angles, and it's just a really good tool to sort of tell different stories. So I'm with you on that as well. Well, that's it. Andre, Nigel, thank you so much for joining us here on Geographical Thinking Caps.
Well, it was a blast. Thanks, great.
Go ahead. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, great. Thank you for having us.
The praise just comes simultaneously. What can I say?
Thanks. No, it was awesome. I'm very much very happy to have done this, and maybe we have a rematch scheduled at some point.
I think we might need to have round two one of these days. So we'll look forward to that.
Could do a training team battle royal.
That would be fun.
And then a Royal Rumble. Yep.
All right. So that is the end of our podcast. And here's a cheap plug. Don't forget about the Spatial Report Pay Up podcast that I co-host with Maggie Sampson, where we shamelessly talk about cool things in the ArcGIS universe. It really is a lot of fun, and we drop some knowledge as well. So please subscribe whenever you get your chance, you know, wherever you get your podcasts. Listen for Spatial Report. Otherwise, this podcast is brought to you by Esri Canada, a technology company that empowers people and organizations by the science of where. We'll chat again down the road. That's soon. Bye.